presented by Invest in Our Land.
Hey, good morning. I'm Playbook co-author Rachel Bade. It's Wednesday, March 13th. Here's what's driving the day. Get ready for Biden versus Trump 2.0. Last night, President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump both got enough delegates to get the official nod to become their party's presumptive nominee. Let the games begin. If you didn't believe it before, you might believe it now, that the Nikki Haley voter will actually determine the winner of the general election. In 2020, Donald Trump lost Georgia by less than 12,000 votes. But despite dropping out of the race last week, Nikki Haley amassed more than 62,000 votes. Of course, some of those were actually early voting before she made that announcement. The House is expected to vote this morning to effectively ban TikTok, that is, if its Chinese counterpart doesn't divest. This morning, the Washington Post has an interesting story about Trump's about face on TikTok. It's worth reading for anything to get to know who's still influential in Trump world. Kellyanne Conway, who's been helping TikTok with Hill phone calls, reportedly told Trump that the app was popular with his supporters and that they weren't being censored on that application. David Urban, a longtime Trump advisor turned lobbyist for ByteDance, apparently pitched Trump's effectiveness as a campaign tool for Trump world. He also met with Trump at Mar-a-Lago last week. And finally, Trump's former aide, Tony Saya, who now works for billionaire TikTok investor Jeff Yass, also has been making the case to Trump world. He's close with Trump's spokesman, Jason Miller, and Trump apparently calls Saya, quote, Tony the tax man because of his work on Trump's tax cuts. And as for the big story leading Playbook today, Republicans look for an off-ramp on impeachment. Yesterday wasn't exactly the Robert Mueller doomsday scenario that Democrats dealt with back in the summer of 2019. Republicans were able to wring out a few damaging quips from former special counsel Robert Hur when he testified on Capitol Hill yesterday. Hur talked in no uncertain terms about Biden's mishandling of classified documents. But like Mueller's doddering testimony years ago, the high-stakes hearing yesterday was overall a dud for the GOP's effort to oust Biden. This morning, we talked to my colleague Jordan Carney about the GOP turning to off-ramps. Good morning, Jordan.
Thanks for having me on.
So Republicans were obviously hoping that Hur's testimony would give their stalled impeachment campaign a much-needed boost. It seems like it didn't work, did it?
Yeah, I mean, so Hur yesterday testified for hours. I mean, he stood by sort of what has been the GOP focus out of his report, which is his comments on, you know, Biden's memory. He really stressed that he didn't exonerate Biden, but he didn't give Republicans sort of the smoking gun, sort of the irrefutable link they need to, you know, just sort of to make a route from Joe Biden to Hunter Biden's business deals that actually really isn't even what the hearing was about to begin with. So it didn't really move the needle on the impeachment inquiry.
Yeah, it sort of reminded me a little bit of the, okay, maybe not as bad as the Robert Mueller hearing back in 2019 when Mueller came to the Hill and everybody was thinking it could be a big, you know, explosive hearing, and it was a dud. It wasn't quite that bad, but definitely not a bombshell coming out of that. But yeah, so Republicans are admitting behind the scenes that impeachment is probably dead. What are they saying to you? What are you hearing?
I mean, I think you have a growing number of House Republicans acknowledging that they're not going to get there, that, you know, that includes sort of the moderate frontliner, I would argue more centrist-y types that say they just haven't seen the evidence to impeach, right? Like, I was talking to Don Bacon about this again today. He's a Republican from sort of a purple Biden district. And he was talking about how there were a group of like 20 to, he estimated like 20 to 35 of them who got a briefing, and they all kind of had the same central question for investigators, which is, you know, you have to be able to show me the crime that Joe Biden committed. And they feel like at this point, investigators haven't shown them that crime. You've also got like Freedom Caucus types like Scott Perry, like, you know, Chip Roy, like Ralph Norman, who all say, yeah, I personally support impeaching Joe Biden, but who are sort of, you know, counting the math and acknowledging what seems incredibly obvious or increasingly obvious, which is that absent some sort of shift within the conference, they're not going to get there.
Really fascinating. So Republicans probably can't come out and say, okay, we're done with impeachment. Obviously, the base would totally flip. So what are they looking at right now in terms of off-ramps? What are the options here?
I mean, I will note just sort of at the top, there are some members who still say, even if that vote is going to fail, I think we should put it on the floor anyways. I think we should put it on the floor and the base can see where everyone is.
That's really interesting.
You'll have other members who are like, that's a terrible vote. We can't do that. Like, we cannot do that. But then there's sort of the off ramps, you know, sort of the lower stakes alternatives that have been, I mean, that like James Comer, Jim Jordan have sort of been floating for, I mean, since the beginning, but because, you know, impeachment was still maybe more on the table than it currently is. Those off ramps, no one really gave them any scrutiny or any attention. So like criminal referrals are something that Comer has been talking about a lot. Whenever like I talked to him, he talked about wanting to pass influence peddling legislation. I think what that translates to are like new ethics rules, new financial disclosure rules, maybe reforms to, you know, FARA. And then there's, you know, do they make reforms to like how a president or former president handles classified documents?
Now, that option is interesting to me because Democrats have complained about all of these things when the shoe has been on the other foot. I mean, in theory, you could see a bipartisan something on this. Of course, that's easier said than done. This would obviously have to go through the Senate, and these are contentious issues by themselves. So who knows? But that I think that's really interesting. What about lawsuits?
This is also sort of something that's on the table. Jim Jordan sent a letter recently to the Justice Department, essentially accusing DOJ of not letting them talk to two DOJ tax lawyers who were involved in the Hunter Biden investigation. And when I chatted with him, he left open the door that they could sue to get that testimony, to get that closed door testimony. He did note sort of the obvious, which is that a lawsuit takes time. And so, you know, the question of do you go down that route and just sort of let the clock run some more? Or do you at some point sort of like cut your losses? I think it's sort of an open question for them right now.
Just looking forward, Republicans are trying to get Hunter Biden in for a public hearing, right? And there's a couple of other things that are still outstanding. Do we have any sense when Republicans are going to have to make this decision about whether to have the vote, even if it fails or not?
You know, I think they have thrown out sort of a sliding timeline for when they're going to do that. You know, it was supposed to initially be in January, and then it was going to be after Hunter Biden testified. So it was going to be like, you know, end of February, early March. And then, I mean, I literally just asked Comer this question this week, and I was told that reporters are the only ones who are asking about articles of impeachment right now. Mm-hmm. And so I think the timeline seems very in flux.
Really interesting. Jordan, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
As for the rest of your schedule today, the Senate is in, the House has its TikTok vote this morning, and then heads to a GOP retreat in West Virginia. And President Biden will travel to Milwaukee this afternoon. He's going to be delivering remarks on rebuilding communities and creating good-paying jobs at the Piper Hill Boys and Girls Club. Then he'll attend a campaign reception. And tune in on Politico.com for Politico's annual healthcare summit this morning. We expect a lot of news will be made on issues from the fentanyl crisis at home to the humanitarian crisis in Gaza, also on abortion and election politics, drug prices, and yes, how to pay for that Ozempic craze. My colleague Ryan Lizza will interview former presidential counselor Kellyanne Conway, and my fellow Playbook co-author Eugene Daniels will sit down with the White House's Neera Tanden. I'm Rachel Bade. Thanks for listening.
Farmers are the heartbeat of rural America.
Congress recently invested $20 billion in America's farmers and ranchers, focusing on conservation practices and profits for future generations. Today, these funds are at risk.
You're squawking over $20 billion, that USDA program. It's investment into the future for everybody.
If the funding was eliminated, it could hurt farms and families.
Tell Congress, protect this generational investment in the Farm Bill. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.